for any
claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, here I am, but my guest is not available yet. My computer has just crashed, so I'm having to use my laptop. Things, I'm sorry to say, are going to be a bit chaotic today. I want to begin with a couple of stories that are going to be huge in the ramifications, I suspect. The sinking of this Russian ship in the Black Sea is very, very significant because it's loaded with nuclear weapons. Now, we have some callers, in particular Paul from California, who is inclined to believe that there are no nuclear weapons. And I'm just delighted to say my guest has now joined me, so I'm going to restart with my colleague here, James McCanney. I'm simply delighted to be joined today. James, can you hear me? James, please do join the conversation already. I can't see you and I can't hear you yet. Very, very good. Can you,
there we go.
Very good. I was explaining my computer crashed, James, just before the show, so I'm having to use my laptop. Now, I'm very happy that you are here. Please, I want to begin by talking about the sinking of the Russian ship in the Black Sea because it's loaded with nuclear weapons. It seems to me this is a potential catastrophe. What are your thoughts about what's going on here?
I just saw this morning, so I really not up to speed on what happened there, other than there's a Russian ship that sank in the Black Sea.
Yeah, well, it was actually the flagship of the Russian ship, and it was a guided missile cruiser, and it's just loaded. I mean, just think in the abstract. It seems to me the Russians are going to be frantic to recover these weapons, and that there's a potential here for a major expansion of the war. Putin is warning the United States to stop sending weapons. Boris Johnson is continuing to send weapons. I'm afraid that the West is provoking a massive escalation in the war that may even wind up going nuclear. Your thoughts in general?
Here's the situation on nuclear war. If this is the reality, I mean, if it goes full-blown nuclear, Russia will survive much, much better than the United States. Because Russia's population centers are in the west part of the country, and they have plans, they have evacuation plans where they can just evacuate their people within a very short amount of time out into the wilderness. The United States has no preparations at all, and the majority of our people live in coastal cities or cities that are next to bodies of water, like, say, Chicago. But 80% of the U.S. population lives in large cities, and there's no way to get these people out of there. There's no plan. There's no contingency plan. And, you know, we have people running this country that are more worried about their Ukraine bank accounts than and what to do in case of, you know, proliferation of nuclear weapons. But, yeah, clearly the United States and NATO and they're pushing, they're trying to get Ukraine to join the European Union. And the other thing is, you know, very much related to this is the whole Hunter Biden thing. And it's really not about Hunter Biden. It's about protecting Pelosi and Kerry's kids and all of these other people and all the congressmen and senators who have bank accounts in the Ukraine for their dirty dealings. Ukraine was a laundering point for every kind of bad dealing on the planet. And so what they're trying to do is protect their assets, really, which are all in Kyiv, in the capital city. And so there, you know, every day that goes by that some news media talks about Hunter Biden's laptop is another day that it protects all the people who have dirty dealings in the Ukraine, which includes probably 90-some percent of all people in federal government.
Yeah, and, the extent of the...
So anyway, but as far as the sinking of the ship, I don't know. I don't know how to interpret that or what really happened or anything.
Well, I think your points about the corruption in Hunter's laptop and drawing in when you have Pelosi's kid, you have Romney's kid, you have Biden's kid, of course, you have Kerry's kid. They're all involved in these corrupt operations in Ukraine. I think you're completely right. They're most concerned about covering their ass, protecting their assets. They could give a damn about the American people or even whether all these efforts might provoke a nuclear exchange with Russia. I agree with all of that. I've been struck, James, about how even the New York Times and the Washington Post have been publishing revelations from the laptop, which is such a reversal from their past suppression of information, suggesting there may be a move afoot to so tarnish Biden that he has to be replaced. He's become a huge anchor on the Democrats. We know, of course, he's merely a puppet. This is not actually even the senator from Delaware. This is a replacement. He has a different size and shape of skull. He has a different signature. He has different color eyes. Yeah. It's a fake president in office based upon a fake stolen election. But what's stunning is while all the laptops have been in the possession of the FBI for at least a year before the 2020 election, and they kept it under wraps, and, of course, the Times and the Post were complimenting by not publishing a thing about it. Now that they're reversing course, it may be in the expectation that they got to somehow jettison Biden. I'm not exactly sure how that would play out because Kamala Harris is, if anything, even less competent than the sock puppet, as though that's difficult to imagine. Your thoughts?
Well, this is the plan all along. And here's the way I talked about this before the 2020 election, that the plan was to put Kamala in there. What people may not remember is that when Hillary Clinton, after the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton put all her staff in Kamala Harris's office. And so the plan was to put Kamala Harris as VP, and then, of course, Joe would bow out for whatever reason, age, tarnishing, whatever the situation. Kamala Harris then becomes president, appoints Hillary Clinton by the 25th Amendment as vice president, and then Kamala Harris, for some reason, bows out, and all of a sudden you have Hillary Clinton as president, never having a vote cast for her. And that's been the plan all along. So this is, to me, this is just the plan being executed.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of members of Kamala's staff have been resigning. I mean, I like your scenario. I think that's perfectly right. I agree with the overall plan you sketch here. But what's going on with all these staffers resigning? I mean, if these are Hillary people, you'd think they'd want to stick it out through thick and thin such that when the time comes, to move Kamala up, bring Hillary in, and then take Kamala out so Hillary can become president, that they'd want to stand fast, hang in there in spite of it all.
Oh, no, but there's two offices here. There's the election office and there's the White House office. So the staff in the White House have been leaving because Kamala is obviously a basket case. But there might be some other things going on in the background, but that's two different groups of people. The people in the election office, the Hillary staff are waiting in the wings. I don't see them as being in the White House at all, and Kamala's staff in the White House.
Excellent. Very good. Nice elucidation. Now, we have a very interesting development where Elon Musk is attempting to buy Twitter, which turns out to be owned at least in part by a Saudi prince. I find that a bit outrageous on its face that a Saudi prince should be in the position to censor the American people. But, of course, that's a minor hiccup in the broader scheme of things. If Musk were to be successful, it appears he would turn Twitter into a bastion of free speech, which it was always intended to be, and for a period of time actually exemplified the highest principles of the First Amendment, allowing everyone to have their peace, which is, of course, what ought to be the case everywhere in the United States, but has been so massively suppressed by Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and the others. It's completely outrageous. I, at the encouragement of a friend in Cleveland, encouraged me to get a Twitter account, and I had, at the point it happened, about 2,600 tweets and about 2,600 followers, and then overnight it just disappeared. I was given no notice, no explanation. Just one day it's there, the next day it's not. I think this would be a sensational development, and he's offering a much higher buying price than the current value of the shares. But you would think that would cause the shares in value to increase, but evidently a lot of the stockholders think it's not going to play out, and therefore the stock is not increased in value. If Musk is successful, I think it'll shoot up like a skyrocket. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The whole issue with the current ownership, that is surprising because the owner, what's his name, Jack Dorsey, has one fourth of what Elon Musk purchased already, and he's the top shareholder to that point, from what they were saying. But to find out that somebody else has a big stake in this, who is like an invisible partner, is very strange. But, you know, the whole world is full of strange bedfellows, you might say, because the Twitter has gone the same route as Facebook, as Wikipedia, and the whole laundry list of social media. They first come in, the CIA waits until the winners play out in naturally. And then they come in and they fund the last one, in this case Twitter, which was this Twitter type of platform. And then they fund that, and then they do away with all the rest of them. And then they turn it over to their control. And that's where they start using it, because everybody's using Twitter. And then they start using it as an information control, so that their favored agenda is promoted, and then any counter agendas are diminished. And so, this goes back to the Russian Revolution when they funded the Bolsheviks. You know, the World Bank was funding the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. And towards the end of the revolution, after the people got into the streets and marching and killed the Tsar and everything else, then they funded the Bolsheviks to take over. And by that time, the World Bank was well installed banking system in Russia, and it's been there ever since until Putin. And so, you know, this is par for the course, what I'm saying, this game plan. And as far as the Saudi prince owning part of it, you know, you have to understand that Saudi Arabia and Israel are partners, you might call it, when you get up to the higher levels. it's the same group of people operating both those operations. So like when they talk about 9/11, you've been involved in that. You know, the Saudis and the Israelis had equal part in that whole operation, along with the CIA, Mossad, MI6, you know, with the coordination of all of that. And, you know, when you get down to the level of where we are, where the news that the common person sees, this is, you know, it's completely clouded as to what's really going on in those upper levels. But back to Twitter, I think Elon Musk is surprising a lot of people and very much not welcome in those circles.
Yeah, I'm very impressed that the guy would make this move. It would be at a single stroke devastating to all the propaganda coming from the Biden administration, where polling shows every single action he's taken since entering office is disapproved by the American people. I mean, the very first day, canceling the XL pipeline, withdrawing permits for drilling on federal lands. One of the great achievements of the Trump administration had been to make us energy independent. He'd also strengthened the economy by clamping down on the border to the point where the lowest earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. Indeed, a poll, a Rasmussen poll in December of 2019, was already showing 40% of black likely voters were going to support Trump. And now we have a devastating fall in support for the Democratic Party from the Latino community, because they see all these migrants entering illegally, be given a red carpet treatment, free cell phones and the like at taxpayer expense. They had to earn their way, and they find it outrageous. Indeed, even Al Sharpton is rather stunned that the Democrats are going so far with their woke agenda that they're antagonizing both a black and the Latino, virtually every minority community that's been supportive of the Democratic Party in the past. As I see it, the only way, therefore, they can forestall a wipeout in November, where I've been predicting the loss of 100 seats in the Congress and 3 or 4 in the Senate, is by stealing the election, where I believe the most effective or likely plan to do that is to declare another virus, impose a lockdown, and require voting by mail, which even third world countries won't adopt because it's so vulnerable to theft. We may be on the verge of a break jam. We're good. Further thoughts about that, where the Democrats are headed, because it seems to me it will be a catastrophe unless they steal the election again.
Well, they have to head it off at the pass, to use the old expression from the old Westerns. There's no way that they're going to allow another election in the normal sense. And so whatever rabbits they pull out of the hat, and I think they have to pull out everything, all of the stops here, and maybe they'll have an assemblance or a fake election. And in which, yeah, like you say, well, everybody's got to stay home and mail in votes, and then it's just all fixed. But a lot of states are rectifying the loopholes that they used in the 2020 election. But the reality is that they have to head off the next federal election at the pass with something. You notice that the COVID thing just dropped off the end of the earth. The day the Ukraine thing started, you did not hear one word on any mainstream channel about COVID. It just fell through the cracks. And then recently, and this had been pointed out before, about the potential of the synthesis of snake venom, laboratory synthesized snake venom being put into water systems, as really being the source of COVID, which makes a lot of sense. And when you see the pushback that's coming from the medical and the pharmaceutical communities on this, it all adds up to being right on the money, that's exactly what happened.
Well, we want to discuss this in some detail, but before we get there, I wanted to suggest that Vladimir Putin is getting a terrible press. He's actually acting in an honorable, principled fashion. He gave a speech on the 24th of February laying out the rationale for the special military operation in Ukraine. It showed he's a very knowledgeable, highly intelligent, very articulate, really, in my opinion, the only bona fide statesman astride the world stage. These others, by comparison, whether it's Macron or Boris or Justin or, God forbid, Biden, are all mice, tiny midgets by comparison to Putin. So I'm a huge fan. They've, of course, sought to manufacture atrocities, which are being actually committed by the Azov Battalion. Ukraine is being run by neo-Nazis, and Victoria Nuland executed the coup. In 2014 to drive out the pro-Russian president at the time and install a puppet, where Zelensky is now the latest in the line of puppetry. He's a very strange guy, but he seems to be doing everything that his masters want him to do, as is Joe Biden. Your assessment?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely what happened. And anybody that doesn't understand the history of Ukraine and how it got to where we are today, you know, immediately upon that 2014 coup, that's when the kids came in, and they're what we call the money bag carriers, the guys that, you know, the shuttle of shuttling the money, so to speak. They're the people that go. And I ran into this, and my first view of this was in 1982. I was in Los Angeles. I was working with venture capital groups, and these kids would come in. Like young guys, the venture capital groups were run by old guys, and I was having my magnetic propulsion systems. That's what I was doing there. I was having those vetted so that they could be funded. And then I ran into all of these families, but the kids, nice cars, lots of money, you know, beautiful houses, living down in Palos Verdes, you know, in condominiums, million-dollar condominiums. And I thought, you know, where did I go to school? Where did these guys go to school to get these really fantastic high-paying jobs? Well, these were not high-paying jobs. These were the kids of the invisible people that ran the military-industrial complex. And so I ran into all of this, and I'm going, holy cow. And the other thing that happened, just to fill in a little bit of to give you a flavor, they were taking the technology that was coming in from all over the United States, engineers, et cetera, and they were filtering it and then farming it off to the aerospace companies. But the other thing they were doing is they were moving the technology to Russia. And so that you would see the technology turning up in Russian military gear the next year. And this is the World Bank. This is how they manage the world. They keep a balance of power, and it's just like the Mensheviks and Bolsheviks, and all of the leaders of the world know this. The only thing is that Putin stepped out of the game. He stepped off the record disc, and now they don't know what to do with him, because he is armed with nuclear power. Any general or anybody worth their salt in the military understands that the United States is extremely vulnerable. But if you understand, this was a setup. This was a setup to take down the United States, because the CIA has to take down the United States to basically bring in the new world, one world government. And so they don't care about the U.S. But the other thing is they don't need nuclear bombs to take out the United States. The United States is so vulnerable right now. They have millions of young military-aged men here who have come from all over the world, come across the southern border, and they've moved them all over the country. And I've said this, there might be a song that appears on the radio, some key, that when these people, all of these military-aged young men hear that signal, whatever it is, or an event, whatever they've been told, they're going to go to a place, become armed, get on uniforms, and get out into the streets and cause absolute chaos throughout the entire United States. And so the United States is extremely vulnerable, and the whole Biden charade and dog and pony show, in a sense, is just that. It's just a dog and pony show to keep everybody distracted.
Yeah, I think that's all right, James. I agree. I thought they would bring them into the army, which has been decimated by means of the COVID. The best members of the military have left because they know this is a life-threatening injection, which is bringing about massive devastation. So and then going woke, you might as well paint all of our tanks pink. The U.S. military has essentially been gutted from within. Lloyd Austin is a great traitor to the United States, but he's just part of the Biden team. And I felt they were going to bring in a lot of these military aides right into the military, declare they're going to be citizens because they would be willing to fire on Americans, whereas Americans would not. But I think you're making the additional point that you're going to have the equivalent of guerrilla uprisings all over the country because they're being spread everywhere to create chaos when the signal is given. I think you are spot on.
Right, right. And then the other thing is the taking down of infrastructure like the water systems, the electric system, the grids, the power and rationing and including food. And you can see all of that coming in also. And this is the old playbook. This is the Communist Manifesto playbook at play here. This is what they did in the 1930s in the Ukraine. They came in and they destroyed the food supply. Millions of people starved to death. And the only people that got a food ticket were the party members, the people that were good citizens. They would go out and turn in their neighbor. What did you do this month to earn your renewal of your food ticket? Oh, I turned in two of my neighbors for political, being the wrong political party or whatever. Oh, okay, here's your food ticket. Your family gets to eat this month.
Jamie, you know, there was a time when I thought that would be a bizarre theory, but I think you got it exactly right. We're about to hit the break, and I want to make you host so you can upload, you know, your PowerPoint slides you have. Is that a good idea here? Okay, that's okay. We'll be right back after this break with James McCann.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, James, it's certainly true that the report of Brian Artis, who is a chiropractor as opposed to an MD, about snake venom has been causing tremendous concern, a lot of discussion and debate. I'm very eager to get your opinion about it. I see the snake venom-induced symptoms as parallel to those of COVID. So I'm very, very open to the prospect that fake snake venom has actually been used to induce the effects, including causing the diaphragm to not function properly, which means you'll essentially be unable to breathe. So respiratory problems, which are characterized as central to the COVID pandemic, seem to be consistent with the use of snake venom. Turns out HCQ and even ivermectin are antidotes, which may account for in part why they've been so eager to suppress, but of course that was also indispensable to gain emergency use authorization for either Pfizer or Moderna. Since were there available alternative non-invasive treatments, they would not have warranted emergency use authorization, I'm convinced. The CDC, the FDA, NIH, and the World Health Organization are all bought and paid for. That this is most grotesque abuse of a health system in world history. Perhaps this is even the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the world, but the fact is it is with devastating consequences. Now, I think that's confirmed even by the fact it turns out that nicotine inhibits the effects of the snake venom. And Fauci, when he made a big deal about how this is a wonderful time to stop smoking, apparently because they didn't want the nicotine to inhibit the effects of the jab, which would make perfect sense if it were included snake venom among its properties. What's been less clear and more debatable, perhaps, is whether the amount of snake venom that would be required if you were going to try to, as it were, poison the water would be gargantuan, so that I've encountered a fair amount of skepticism on that aspect of the account. I'm more inclined to believe the former than the latter, but I'm very eager to get your assessment because you are an expert in this area. Please share with us your thoughts.
Well, let's start with that because clearly there was going to be a lot of pushback on this. But here's the issue. If on a given day a tremendous amount, let's take a city water system in a suburb of Chicago, okay? And let's say that there are a typical city water system might, was a big one, might service 10 or 20,000 people. And so that's not many people, but on a given day, if you can lace the water in that, or you can do something else, you can lace the water as it goes into, let's say, a bottling plant for bottled water. Okay, now, what happens to that bottled water? That gets distributed all over the place, and it has a high dosage. So all the people that go out and drink bottled water that day, unsuspectingly, are getting a major dose. And they're not going to relate that back because there's no contact tracing, there's no product tracing, there's no tracing of any kind back to that lacing of the water. Or if it were put in a water system in a high quantity, it would be enough. And here's the issue, and this is what Artis said also, though he's very clear on this. It's enough to get the people to get into the hospital. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not enough to kill them. It's enough to make them think, oh, I got COVID. They go in. What do? They get a test. They turn up positive. And so he suggested, no, this came from a medical doctor because I went out and I got medical doctor opinions. And these are people who treat COVID patients, patients who have had in the so-called vaccine, and they treat them for symptoms, et cetera. So these are people that are out on the front line, boots on the ground. And I said, what about this? And they said it's only enough to get them into the hospital. You understand? Because at that point, and then artists talked about this, then they'd give them the remdesivir, which was the snake venom, and then they put them on a respirator, and 5 days later they're dead. You understand?
Yes.
So the snake venom in the water is not to kill the people. It's to make them have symptoms. And some people are much more sensitive than others. And so what do? They go, you know, they get a test. So here's what the doctor that I talked to suggested. Take the test. Now, there's many different types of tests out there today. And they are instant tests. He said, take those tests and put it in the water supply and see if they come back positive. In other words, don't you take the test, put it in the water, and see if it comes back positive. So what happens if a person feeling sick, feeling symptomatic, they go to the hospital, they give them the PCR test, they turn up positive, which is reacting to the snake venom, they say, you have COVID, we put you in a bed, they put them on a respirator, and the other thing they do is they give them a tranquilizer, because most people are not going to accommodate putting a tube down your throat. So they give them a tranquilizer, which further relaxes their body so they cannot breathe. They cannot intentionally breathe. And within the two doses of remdesivir, they're dead. That's the pattern. So you have to understand what Artis said. And clearly, you know, I was on a radio show Wednesday morning, and a guy called in, and you could tell this guy was a disinformation. He was on the front line trying to quell this story, and he goes, well, I don't think there's enough evidence, and he's trying to talk this down, and I just told the guy, shut up, get off the air. I'm not going to be on a radio show and have some guy call in who's a disinformation person and try and throw water on the topic. And that's what they do. They try and dissuade the topic and move it over here and talk about other things, you know. And so immediately they have the disinformation people out, the trolls we call them, out on the internet. But understand that the lacing of water with snake venom, synthesized snake venom,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Sure.
I'll have to get a drink here in a minute.
Sure.
Excuse me. Is not to kill the person. It's to give them symptoms so they go to the hospital.
That's very good, James. That makes a lot of sense. I think you probably got it. I think that's going to be the explanation. So you agree that Artis actually has done us a good turn here by bringing out this fake man. I discovered, others actually, but there was a report on the University of Arizona having done research on snake venom in relation to the, development of these kinds of treatments. And it does appear there are a lot of supports. My concern has been mostly with a massive amount of water, but your point that it's really just to induce symptoms to get them into hospitals, which ironically enough have now become killing zones, that our medical establishment has turned against us. It was absurd. I had an appointment for next week about a minor matter, and when I saw that for me to come in, I would have to wear a mask, I canceled the appointment and pointed out masks are harmful. I have 6 or 8 studies, including from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, which is the nation's premier medical scientific organization, explaining why masks are no good, do no good, and in fact do a lot of harm. So all this is violative of the Hippocratic Oath, the first principle of which is do no harm. They do no good. They actually are harmful. So I wrote back and I said, masks are harmful. You know, I can't believe that my clinic is still using them. James, I mean, the propaganda has been so massive that people can't see the obvious, which is that recycling oxygen depleted air is very bad, puts a stress on your cardiovascular system, kills brain cells, which unlike skin cells, do not regenerate. And of course, we're also finding the collateral effect of wearing masks that little toddlers who are developing speech are unable to witness the shaping of the mouth and the sounds by other adults. And we're going to have a whole generation that is handicapped linguistically because of this fanaticism over masks, which is only one element in the master plan to depopulate planet Earth. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's insane. But the thing is, like you say, you get on these kicks. And people, they use fear that, you know, the parents, you have to, you know, your kids are going to get COVID or whatever. Get them in, get an injection. It's all based on fear. But the medical community, this is big money. All of a sudden, nobody went to the hospitals. When COVID started, nobody went to the hospital. If you had a broken bone, you may have gone to the clinic or something. X-rays were down. All the facilities at the hospital were down. What did they do? They turned to the COVID agenda to make money, and it was a big money maker, and they didn't have to do anything. Basically, all they had to do was kill people and put them on this regimen. And there's a thing in medicine now, it's called standard of care. It's, you cannot be sued if you're using a approved standard of care. And so what happens is the hospitals, the clinics, the doctors, who are all corporate doctors now, there's no doctor that is independent and works for himself. They're all corporate doctors. And so And I've had people tell me the exact same story as you. They have an appointment. It's for something, you know, totally unrelated. They need to have a PCR test, a COVID shot, and wear a mask. And the people go, no, I'm not doing that. So they cancel their appointment. And these are for things that it might be cataracts. It might be, you know, something else. You know, whatever it is, the people just decline and say, no, I'm not going there.
That's exactly what I have done. I'm not going there. I'm going to avoid it all possible ever going again. I'm going to circumvent any medical procedure because the establishment has turned on its obligations to the public. I mean, this is just such a form of betrayal, James, that it boggles the mind.
Right. And then the other thing that I don't hear many people talk about is the salvaging of body parts. They say that the human body, I forget the amount of money, is like many millions of dollars if they, you know, if a person dies. And supposedly if you had COVID, you could not donate blood or organs, etc. But they're doing that. They're taking dead people, and what they do is the people are almost dead. They bring in the family, and they say, look, they're almost dead. Sign off here so that they can donate their organs to the organ bank. This is the back end of the money-making scheme that the hospitals are involved in, because then they're making millions of dollars off the dead person who's not even dead yet. And the families have gone in and said, we don't want him anymore on remdesivir. We don't want any more respirators. And the hospitals refuse. They won't let the families in to see the patients. So this is a major racket. It's the money-making deal for the medical industry. And it's all based on I want to get back to the whole thing about our Dr. Artis.
Yeah.
What he says makes complete 100% sense. When this whole thing started, I was talking about graphene oxide because it had the exact same symptoms, and it would be distributed, say, in a ventilation system, and it would get into the lungs and would cause the exact same symptoms. And so I think that that was being used early in the game also, and they stopped it because as soon as you do an autopsy and you see that the lungs are all cut up on a micro level, then you start looking and you're going to start finding all the graphene oxide particles. And they're like little saws. They're little nanoparticle saws. And when the person breathes harder, especially if you put them on an oxygen ventilator or just a ventilator, it's going to pump the lungs and just cause as much damage as possible. Then your lungs are not able to clean that out. And thus the cytokine storm. So I think that was actually being used also. But the whole issue of the venom in the water, when you see the counterclaims that come out, for example, well, they'd have to put so much in the water. That's not the point. The point is to get some of the population to be symptomatic, the way they go into the hospital. It gives them a PCR test that's positive. That causes them to be put on a ventilator, give them remdesivir, and that's the rest of the story. So it makes perfect sense.
Yes, yes, yes. I think you're doing a great job of substantiating what Dr. Artis has advanced. Become very, very controversial. Some are suggesting he's trying to distract from the bio labs in Ukraine, but it seems to me the biolabs in Ukraine are precisely where this could have all been developed. In fact, Veterans Today has just published a piece about how the DOD gave a biolab in Ukraine a contract to do COVID-19 research before it was even officially labeled COVID-19, which is very supportive of that hypothesis. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and, you know, this is an evolving story. And so once you take a big piece of the puzzle like this and you put it in place and you put it out there in the public, the way you measure its success is by the amount of pushback that it gets. That's how you measure the correctness of something in the world. And Artis says that also. He says, you know, if you look at what the fact checkers say, then exactly it'll be exactly the opposite, because their job is to get you back on the standard narrative.
Yeah.
So the amount of pushback is directly related to the correctness of the claim, or inversely related, however you want to cut it.
Yes. Yes, I think you got it exactly right. How do we work our way out of this mess, James? I mean, it is really catastrophic. While I have some reservations about Trump because of the, you know, assassination of Soleimani, imposing the lockdowns, even, you know, supporting the vax, I'm inclined to want to give him the benefit of the doubt about the vax that he was played. On the other hand, I see no other figure that has even remotely the potential to save the nation at this point in time. I just don't see how it's going to happen. Your thoughts?
The only other person I see is Ron DeSantis. I think a really good team would be Ron DeSantis with Trump as vice president. Because then what you would have is you would have Trump doing the economic negotiating. He would be the vice president is typically the person that does foreign relations. And so you would have Trump doing that and the economic, and then you would have DeSantis managing the things that he's done very well in Florida. They never shut down in Florida. The schools remained open. the whole recent thing with Disney, because Disney has one of its major outposts in Florida, and he just blew them off. He says, hey, we're not going to run this state from some corporate office in California. So DeSantis has made the decisions that Trump did not make when it comes to some of these things. And so I think that would be a ticket, because then you would have the Trump personality on there and the Trump, Trump as president, he missed a lot of stuff. You got to ask yourself, how did all the stuff in Ukraine keep going on with Trump as president? Because the Bidens were there, the Kerrys, the Pelosi's, all of the corruption going on in Ukraine and under Trump's watch. So, I mean, there's a lot of things he missed that he should have gotten, and he did not. He picked a bunch of swamp members as his team members. His running mate, what's his name? The bobblehead from Ohio there. The old vice press, James.
Yeah. DeSantis is president. The question becomes whether Trump's ego would allow him to play the second fiddle. I'm not at all sure that works. You think a Trump-DeSantis combination wouldn't work? Actually, I've been entertaining the prospect that Trump's going to run with Tulsi Gabbard, that a Tulsi and Trump combination would be immensely appealing to the country. I have great admiration for Ron DeSantis, however. I think he's done a lot of good stuff, although he, like Trump, appears to be a bit too inclined to kneel to the Zionist establishment, which I find extremely offensive.
Yeah, well, Tulsi Gabbard is, that's the one weak point of her also, is she doesn't understand what makes the world go round. She doesn't understand who's running the show. And you have to understand that to really make any inroads into running the United States.
And of course you're alluding to the power of the Israeli lobby and the dominance. I mean, look, even the Biden cabinet seems to be very populated with individuals who are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. It's my belief, and the very first political speech I ever gave was on 15 April 2008 at a Ron Paul Freedom Rally on the grass outside the Capitol in Washington, D.C., that would be published as 9/11 and the Neocon Agenda, where I emphasize the importance of never appointing a dual citizen to a policy-shaping or decision-making position, because you cannot know that their loyalty to the other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. And yet Trump had many, many, many I even understand his mother is Jewish, which means, strictly speaking, Donald Trump is himself Jewish. I just don't know. And yet I think he's a great American patriot. I'm in a quandary here, James. Can you help me to sort out about Trump?
Well, Trump's mother, my understanding is, came from Ireland. And that's who gave him the Bible that he carries around. I was not aware of that connection.
That's, yeah, I would sure like it. I would sure like it. I mean, while Trump has made, you know, some serious mistakes, he has struck me as a bona fide patriot. And he's suffered such a miserable bad press, James. I've never seen anyone so massively savaged and, you know, vilified in American political history. I mean, you know, but it's all coming from these weak-kneed, spineless Democrats who've sold out to the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, it's or really to the Rothschild banking industry and where everything they're doing with the coronavirus and all that, critical race theory, the whole lot, it appears to be the imposition of cultural Marxism upon the United States, taking down the statues, for example. Those were cement binding the states after the Civil War. Those were monuments to our past. And the idea of taking, you know, some element of what might now be considered to be politically incorrect, such as Washington and Jefferson owned slaves, it was a common practice at the time, and thereby vilifying them, changing the names of schools. We even had a name change right here. I live outside of Madison, Wisconsin. They're changing the name of a school named after James Madison because he owned some slaves. I mean, James, this is beyond belief. We're talking about the greatest figures in American political history.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you do if you want to break down a country is you destroy the family and you destroy the history. So the cancel culture term itself is exactly that. And once again, it's the Communist Manifesto. It's what you do to break down a country. You take it and divide it into a million pieces, and then you come in and take over. And then you break it down economically, which is going on. And in 14 months, or now it would be, about 14 months, the United States has been completely destroyed economically.
James, let's return to that after this break. I'm just delighted to have James McCanny here with me today on The Raw Deal. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. give. I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, James, I'd like to pursue that theme with you further about the role of cultural Marxism and the destruction of American culture and American values, which had been going on apace. Since Biden came into office, we've seen such a surge of outrageous activities, and the Democrats are enthusiastically supporting them, even though the country as a whole is rejecting them. Absent the theft of an election, there's no way they could remain in power. And once the Republicans take control, it's going to put an end to it. All kinds of investigations, even impeachment activities are going to take place. We know January 6th even was a fabricated event. Nancy Pelosi controls the Capitol Police Force. The FBI had, you know, informants and operatives present, especially one Ray Epps, who was encouraging everyone to undertake violent activity. James Sullivan explained his brother John had led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol. Trump spoke until 1:11. These events began at 12:55. By 1 p.m., the Capitol Police were already calling for reinforcement. There's no way Trump had anything to do with it, and yet we get endless propaganda lies, really, putting it most baldly from the Democrats. It makes you gag when you think about what's happened to a party that was once a responsible participant in the American political seen, but has now become nothing but phonies, liars, cheats, deceivers, even mass murderers when you account their support for the vax and all that. Your thoughts? You're muted.
I'm muted. Okay. After the break, unmute.
Not a problem.
So, yeah, this But, you know, it's not just the Democratic Party. The Republicans also, you know, there's been so much on the take in Washington that it, what I've said is just put a fence around Washington, D.C. and call it a prison, because the level of corruption that permeates that area is just unbelievable. The whole issue with the January 6th deal is it's almost comical to see the first person was acquitted on all charges. The second person, who was a leader of the group so-called Proud Boys, which was obviously a highly infiltrated group to try and draw people into it, pleads guilty. He didn't even go to trial. He pled guilty, and they needed somebody to plead guilty on their side, one of the people involved, just to get some kind of a conviction.
Yes, 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 yes. The whole thing is a sham, and then they've been putting people who are relatively innocent, who went into the Capitol with good intention, had no malevolent motive whatsoever. They've even put them in solitary confinement. They're running like a mini gulag right in Washington, D.C., James. I've never seen anything like this in my life in the United States. We are emulating the Stalinist practices right here in the USA.
Yeah, well, it's off the rails at this point. The entire process is off the rails. And, you know, the court systems, it's simply a country that's off the rails. That's the only thing you can say about it. But it's not the Democrats, it's both parties. And then you get into political appointments like judges at local mayoral and school board and city council. You know, it's been infiltrated at all levels.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, what has become of this nation? Where do we go from here? And by the way, James, I'm inferring you're open to taking calls, so I'm glad to open the call lines at a certain point. Please tell us, where do you think we go from here? How the hell do we get out of this mess?
I don't know if elections can pull it out. There's a lot of states that are putting in restrictions on mail-in voting and trying to clean up the election process. But it's really a struggle. It's a big struggle for these states to bring back a semblance of confidence in the electoral process. So I don't know. I don't know if it's salvageable at this point. The issue with the southern border and bringing in all of these military age males and distributing them all over the country is they call them sleeper cells. And these are millions and millions of people, millions, and they're all over the place. So, you know, I don't know how you cure a problem that's this bad, that has a cancer that this bad.
Well, is the nation then lost? Is America a dream that was, you know, imperfectly realized, but certainly far better approximation toward our aspirations in the past, even in the relatively recent past? Do you foresee that we have lost our way and that we are doomed to decay and destruction given the forces already in play, which are extremely powerful and encompassing? Is that your pessimistic assessment?
Yeah, I don't predict the future. I just, you know, in a lot of sense, I've stopped dealing in these areas. I'm pretty busy with the other things that I do, the water filter business, etc. But, one thing I did is the election analysis. And my estimate is that probably 90% of the American public are all on the same mindset. So it's a very small group of people who are running things, that run the news media, the political machines, etc. It's an extremely small group of people, and it goes all the way down to the state and local levels. So the thing that I think people have to do is take back on the local level, because the way the United States works is that the local levels have, municipal levels have, and county levels have power over the states. The states have power over the federal government, except for designated powers that are assigned to them. So the best thing people can do is take back at their local level.
Yes. Yes, take back at the local level.
That's my advice is I would not even worry about state and federal. If you can take back your local level, then you have control of your immediate future at that level.
Well, that's a very disturbing thought. Not that it isn't a good idea, but the idea, the thought that the federal government is a lost cause. And I take it you infer that goes right up to the U.S. Supreme Court, where I was simply appalled when they refused to take the Texas case that would have put an end to the theft of the election of 2020 in a single stroke, that they failed to take that case. James, just floored me, flat out floored me. I could not believe it. I was incredulous that the United States Supreme Court would fail to take a case among the states about the most important matter, most important responsibility, the democratic election of the administration of the executive branch, and not to take it. That was an awful abdication of responsibility as I saw it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and that's indicative of the corruption that's just permeated everything. And that's why I say because I have people asking me, what can I do? You're asked the same question on an individual level. You can take back your local political scene. And that's the most powerful unit in the country. That's what I'm telling people. It overrides the state. It overrides the president. It overrides everything. And so if people take back their local community, that's the most important thing going on. Let me just give you the demographics. I think it'll make a lot more sense. 10 cities carried the federal election in 2016 and a few more in 2020. But what's going on is the political machine in those 10 cities, it's Los Angeles, it's Portland, Seattle, Denver, Las Vegas. I can name them all off. Houston, Dallas, Chicago, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Madison, where you live, Detroit, Miami-Dade County, and then New York City. And these basically 10 places control the vote in the entire country. And so what I'm telling people is that 90%, and as you can go through the demographics of the vote, I have a voter publication that I put out before and after the 2016 election. And it's very clear. It was impossible for Hillary Clinton to win an election, either in popular vote and certainly not in electoral votes. And so it was all fake. It was all, and the huge numbers that she got were from 10 cheating centers, basically the 10 I just named off.
Yes, yes, yes. If you can control those, and of course, Zuckbox made a big difference. We have a major expose about the theft of the 2020 election forthcoming called 2,000 Mules. Dinesh D'Souza narrates. He seemed to be a pretty sharp guy. Well, they had a video. It turns out they had hired thousands of individuals to stuff the ballot boxes and drop boxes that were left out. It was so obvious that this would be a key to stealing an election, but in order to be paid, they had to take selfies of themselves performing their dirty deed, so that they have thousands of these selfies of these operatives corruptly for the Democratic Party stealing the election in 2020. It's about to come out. I believe it's going to be released in movie theaters all over the nation. But those who have held on to the lingering but false belief that there was anything honest about the 2020 election, I mean, it was ridiculous. We knew from the beginning that Biden was going to lose massively. Even, for example, a joint presentation by him and Kamala in Phoenix just before the election, days before the election, drew a crowd smaller than the fingers on your hand. No one turned out, James. No one turned out. And this guy is supposed to have garnered some 90 million votes more than any other candidate in American history. It's just insulting. And yet the Democrats are characterizing, and I think the DOJ is even going along with it, anyone who contests the authenticity of the 2020 election is a domestic terrorist. How bad is that?
Well, yeah, that's the level it's gotten to. And but that's, once again, a very small group of people, a very small group of people managing. And it comes down to the local levels. In the 2016 election, the Milwaukee and Madison, the statistics that came out of there, it showed that a lot of the corruption in the vote is at the local level. People that, you know, the little old lady, the little old man down the street, just doing their job of padding the votes at the local precinct level.
David, James, I'm going to open the lines to callers, but with a caveat. I'm uninterested in callers who want to insist there's no such thing as nuclear weapons, and I'm not interested in debating flat earth. I'll invite James' opinion about both, but I regard that as out in space, la-la land, and really we have so little time to discuss serious issues. I don't want to be diverted by those who have rather, in my opinion, odd beliefs. Now, let me hasten to add, I have good friends who I esteem who think Earth is flat. But the fact is, you know, I respect them. It's just that this is not the occasion to debate that issue here. Meanwhile, the call-in number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. James, let me invite your thoughts about those two subjects. I mean, you know, I have one caller who's very emphatic about both, and while I think he's a great guy and very smart, it just becomes a distraction. Let's take nukes. Do you have any doubt about the existence of nuclear weapons? In fact, the sinking of the ship here, this, you know, the Russian warship, which was a guided missile cruiser, is just loaded with nuclear weapons, which I think is why it's going to be a cause of great concern to the Russians that those devices not fall into the wrong hands. Your thoughts about nukes?
Well, it just turns out my advanced physics degree is nuclear and solid state physics. And so, as a person who understands and has dealt with these issues, nuclear bombs are real. And so, anyway, and, you know, I don't like discussing these things because there's an old expression, James, don't get in an argument with an idiot lest you look like one. And so the whole thing, and a lot of times these people are narcissistic. And so they believe something. But it's not the belief system you're dealing with, it's their narcissism. And the worst thing you can do to a narcissist is even talk to them. And so, you know, there are ways, for example, to measure, like if you're in a room, this is the simple way to look at this. You're in a room there. If you had a tape measure, could you measure the dimensions of your room? I'm asking you that, James.
Yeah, well, of course.
It would be so many meters or centimeters, and you know, the level of accuracy would depend on your measuring device, etc. Some of these laser measuring devices are extremely accurate, so that would be more accurate than, say, a tape measure. Okay, but in terms of measuring other physical phenomena, like, say, the something outside, like, say, a park. You could measure a park, you get your friends together, you have a tape measure, maybe you have a big tape measure, Maybe you have surveying equipment. You can measure that. And so there are many techniques for measuring the circumference of the Earth. And so it's not a difficult thing to do. And I've seen some of these videos where people go, oh, the 287 reasons why the Earth is flat. It's all talky talk. It's not anything real. It's jibber jabber. And so I'm afraid of then, you know, what I do is I encourage people to just stay with it. If you think the Earth is flat, that's great. Just keep it, you know, and go around talking about it, whatever. Just don't waste my time. And so,
my own PhD is in the history of science and the philosophy of science. And, you know, the history of science is dominated by the history of astronomy and physics. And anyone who tracks, you know, the development of the theories of Earth in relation to the universe from a Earth-centric view to a sun-centric view to the totality of the universe. I mean, every object in space is basically spherical. We have some irregular like asteroids, but I don't believe, David, it's even physically possible, James, that Earth could be flat because of gravitational attraction of all masses for other masses. I don't think it's even physically viable to have a flat Earth. And of course, it would have certain finite dimensions. It would have a width, a breadth, and a thickness. I just find the whole scheme fantastic.
Yes, it is fantastic.
Where is the edge of the Earth?
Right.
Where is the edge? Where, you know, define, please, because I go travel all the time. I go, and I have means to go in boats and airplanes, et cetera. Tell me exactly where the edge of the Earth is.
That's so, not a good question.
That'd be a good tourist attraction. So please tell me where that is. But there again, this is the thing, is engaging in a conversation with a narcissist is the wrong thing to do. And so,
stop with the narcissist stuff. I'm insulted by this. There's lots of people Storm.
Paul, David how White, did you even get in? I hadn't even invited you in yet. Where in the world did you come from?
I know, I'm
from?
Sorry.
I wasn't going to bring it up. James, this is a caller, Paul from California, the very guy I was describing. Very smart. He makes a lot of valuable contribution, but he's gone on a binge about non-nukes. And given your background, please, he's here. Paul, go ahead and say your piece. I mean, James
McCain is as good
a person to offer rebuttal as anyone.
I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to waste.
That's fine. I don't want to talk to you either. I wasn't even going to mention it, but don't talk to people that you don't know.
Cut him off.
Paul, don't know. No, he's insisting he wasn't even going to bring up the subject. Fair enough, Paul.
Correct.
What do you, Paul, I'm giving you the opportunity. What would you like to discuss?
Well, I was just going to mention a couple of things, but here's the problem that I don't, this thing that you should not do again, Jim, unless you have a show on with guests, and you know there's multiple guests that are willing to come on and talk about this
in a
professional manner.
Yeah. Mitchell, we got a problem. We can't hear Paul in particular. James can't hear Paul, so we got a problem here. Can you help? I can hear him, but faintly. James can't hear him at all.
So here's what I would mention.
I didn't see Mitchell when you said that Paul was on the line.
Can you hear me, Jim?
I can hear you, Paul, yeah.
Okay, but nobody else can.
I don't know. James, can you hear him now?
No.
No. Paul, give me your question, and I'll give it to James because he can hear me. Go ahead.
It could be posed as a question, but I had a thought immediately about how would we know there's nuclear weapons on this ship? It's not like they're flying a flag that says nuclear weapons on board. So, you know, the idea that the press, that you, that all, everybody could know supposedly that there's nuclear weapons on this ship, I find suspicious. So
well,
I
bet.
There was a big
article showing, you know, the weapons on the ship and all that. I mean, this is pretty common knowledge, Paul. And, you know, but for your skepticism, well, I don't think there'd be an issue here. Give me more. What else would you like to address?
Well, for example, I'm assuming, Jim, that you saw the presentation with Dr. Artis and Stu Peters. I'm assuming you watched it from beginning to end.
Well, I've watched two of them. I watched the whole one with Stu Peters and also the first hour with Mike Adams, which I thought was even more impressive. And there's a third one out there I haven't watched yet. But, yes, yes, go ahead.
So, yeah, so like you, I found it extremely compelling, okay? It was very – and I thought it fits perfectly with who these people are. Since nobody for the entire hour or more has mentioned the Jews, I will always enjoy being the first to do so. Of course, we know it's the Jews that are behind this. This is a Jewish agenda, okay? They're trying to destroy us chemically by poisoning us, and they're trying to destroy us racially by flooding our country with non-white aliens. That's their agenda. That's the only thing that's worth talking about, is poisoning and a racial war against us, which is going to continue.
Neither James nor I is inclined to disagree with you about that, Paul. James said the problem Tulsi has is she's not aware of, the real situation, which led me to talk about how many dual citizens Trump had and how many are in the Biden admin. So I think we're on board with that aspect of your point of view. Continue.
Okay, but continuing on with the poisoning aspect, I found it extremely compelling, very interesting, the whole idea about serpents and the fact that they were likely to go ahead and come up with some sort of chemical concoction that would mimic the effects of snake venom. However, there's multiple other things that also do this. Okay, there's extreme nutritional deficiencies mimic the symptoms of COVID. Also, 5G is definitively linked to COVID-like symptoms. So there's a number of things at play.
Let me transfer that to James. Paul's suggesting that he found it fascinating what artists had to say about snake venom, but he's suggesting there are also alternative explanations, dietary deficiency. Paul, what were a couple of the others?
Well, I find it interesting that you're talking to him, and I can hear you, and I'm just curious as to why he wouldn't be able to hear me. But
I don't know, but he's not in the United States. This is a distant connection, and we had a problem. My computer crashed, Paul. This is not a normal show, technically. I'm having to do this from my laptop, not from my computer, which I've been able to restore, but it crashed at just the wrong time for the show today, okay?
Okay, so, I understand.
I feel badly about that, but it was beyond my control. So I'm just doing the best I can to make all this work today for the show. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. So let me do this, and I'll just go ahead and put what I was going to say out there in a few sentences that I already had in my head, and then you can go ahead and do whatever you want after that. You don't have to.
I'll pass them to James.
Okay. So here's the problem with.
Paul, we got a break. We're up against a break. We'll be right back and I'll take your question.
All right.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
By the way, I've been able to restore my computer so I can actually now read comments in the chat. We have one from the Revolution Radio chat room, Navy. I'm an ex-nuke loader team member, and they are real. So the term broken arrow is what just happened in the Black Sea. There's a wonderful film called Broken Arrow, by the way, starring John Travolta and Christian Slater about a pilot who goes rogue and steals a couple of nukes. It's pretty fascinating stuff. I wish, Paul, actually there were no nuclear weapons, because the risk to the, thermonuclear war obviously would be dramatically reduced, shall we say. And I know you're not coming on to pursue that, and I appreciate that very, very much. So I want you to go ahead and lay on your points about alternative explanations for the symptoms being attributed to snake venom, which you suggest include, major dietary deficiencies. But you had a couple of other points you want to make, and I regret this because James cannot hear you directly. I'm having to transfer the information to him because of the computer problem. So go ahead and lay on, Paul, what you wanted to say originally. Paul, I cannot hear you. Paul, did you mute?
Okay, are you there now, Jim? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay,
yes,
great.
Thanks, Paul.
Please don't go into the explanation again. There's a whole flow I want to get out. Just let me get it out. Everybody knows what's going on now. So there's a great article that came out from State of the Nation. I don't know if you saw it, with calling into question this whole snake venom hypothesis, which I do not really do. I think it's in play. From what I understand, this remdesivir, it comes in a powder and it's mixed with water, okay, and it basically goes in intravenously, which reminds me of what I wanted to say and what a lot of people already know, is that you can drink snake venom and it really won't hurt you.
Yes.
You might get a little sick or nauseous, but when it goes through the digestive system, it's basically inactivated. Okay, it's unstable in that manner. So, for example,
yes, let me translate this for James. Paul's observing State of the Nation has an article attacking the snake venom hypothesis that we know, and this is generally understood, drinking snake venom won't be particularly deleterious. It's injecting snake venom.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
You know what happens when you take a shower?
Go ahead. You mean the water is...
It goes right through your skin.
That there are molecular penetrations by water through the skin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
Okay. That's very interesting. I only wish you could hear Paul. Go ahead, Paul. Say more, and I'll translate for Jake.
Okay. Fine. But earlier in the call, he mentioned bottled water. So again, these are all possibilities for poisoning, but you know, it would have to be an extremely stable snake venom-like compound and not actual act in the same
way.
Okay,
good, Paul. I get it. Go ahead. Give me more.
The dilution is the problem. So you mentioned it yourself, Jim, about the amount that you'd have to put in a water supply. It just it doesn't seem viable. This all points to them wanting to stick needles in our arm. That's the goal. That's what they did. There's other ways of making us sick, and they pursue these ways at all times, including the chemtrails, including 5G, including all sorts of ingredients in the food, on and on and on. But in my opinion, okay, the snake venom hypothesis has a lot of merit, and I believe it fits perfectly with the diabolical nature of these people, and I think it's very symbolic, right? I mean, because in the Bible, these people are known as serpents. You look at the symbol of the medical profession. Okay, you got a couple of serpents wrapping around a pole. So, you know, it's like, I think it's, shall we say, I don't know, ironic is probably not the right term, maybe sardonic. But it's just, in my opinion, again, it's not the entire picture. We need to keep that in mind. You know, so that was my take on the whole snake venom. And again, you can go online and watch people drink snake venom.
Paul, that's all very good. Let me see if I can paraphrase this for James. Paul actually is totally open-minded to the idea of snake venom in the vax, and that this would all fit the general scenario, even biblical, where the evil are identified with snakes. And, you know, as artists explain, though Paul didn't say this, you know, Corona for King Cobra, source of snakes, he's open to that. His point about water and dilution included your mention of bottled water, so that, you know, bottled water drinking presumably wouldn't have a particularly adverse effect, even if it contained snake venom. So that's more or less what he has sketched out here. If you could hear all the details, of course, there's more to it, but that's the gist of it.
Wait, stop. Let's take this one piece at a time.
Yeah.
Do you know where the fastest entry into your body is directly? Not through the digestive tract. It's under your tongue. Right here. I'll show you if you can see me.
Okay.
Right there.
The most absorptive receptors in the human body are beneath the tongue. Go ahead.
It's under your tongue.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so if you get some, and the entire point is that some people are more susceptible than others. And the point is that a very small dose is enough to make people react. Some people.
No.
Get them into the hospitals where the hospitals can take over.
The point is to get you into the hospital.
Right.
You come into the hospitals, and what happens? You test positive on the PCR test. You got COVID. We've got to put you in this bed. They give you remdesivir, and 10 days later, you're dead.
What
I see is disinformation taking over the narrative and taking it, like I say, off into left field. If you drink snake venom, you don't have effect. That's not the point. If you shower in it, your skin is a huge absorbing organ. It's the biggest.
Yeah, there's no way that would be absolutely not possible quantitatively.
If you breathe in the vapor in the shower, that's why I sell whole house water filters.
Okay, so there's chlorine and all.
Hang on, Paul. Go ahead, James.
Making an absurd point.
Hang on, Paul.
Okay.
Go ahead, James.
The biggest problem with any toxin is not you drinking it. You see how this gets in the left field right away? And the biggest problem of toxic water is when you take a shower. And you breathe in the vapor, and it goes through your skin, which is the biggest absorbing organ on your body, much bigger than your liver, much bigger than your stomach, a lot bigger than your intestines. And you breathe it in through your lungs, which is a huge organ. If you took all the little sacs in your lung and laid them out flat, it would cover a football field. That's how you get enough oxygen when you breathe in. Within 2 seconds, all of that oxygen is into your bloodstream. Do you understand? It doesn't go through a liver. It Doesn't go through your stomach.
Right, but we're not getting snake venom by breathing. Could you cut this off, Jim, please?
Paul, James is my guest here, and while I like you as a caller, you often run ripshod over my guests and me, of course, which is the problem we've had chronically between you and me. So I have serious, yeah, well, I would think by now you're a smart guy. You would know the score here regarding the program. Now, if you want me to address further comments to James, just pass them along, and I'm really sorry he can't hear you directly. Obviously, that would be far preferable.
Okay, so if I can speak now just briefly.
Yeah.
So a lot of what he said is not untrue. It's just it's nonsense in this context. And please, you don't have to transfer this to him. But it's an absurdity. We're not talking about this. They want to put needles in us. That's what they do. They do that with remdesivir. They do that with the vaccine. That's what they need to do. Nobody's going to get any illness by breathing this in. You can breathe in toxins, but you're not going to breathe in snake venom or snake venom vapors.
You know, wait.
Plus, in all municipal water supplies, there's chlorine.
Paul, hang on. James actually was able to hear.
Hang on. I'm not done yet.
Also, I know you're not done yet. But I'm asking you to pause. I'm asking you to pause because James wants to respond.
Cut him off.
Pause. James, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is ridiculous. The entire point of this, and this is what Art is saying, and he's absolutely correct, and don't minimize what other people are saying. The entire point is to get a reaction so people go into the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. And they go early treatment, remdesivir, ventilator.
Yes. All know this.
Days later, when they start having respiratory problems, then they put the ventilator and they're dead.
Don't we understand that?
This is very simple. I mean, this is.
I do understand it, and so do most of the listeners. This is frustrating as hell. You're not listening to the things that I'm saying. You're just repeating what we all know. We all know.
Well, Paul, even I'm having hard. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. They have chlorine.
Paul, I'll bring you back another time. We'll talk about this further, no doubt. Thank you for making an effort. I'm sorry today the show was complicated by the technical issues. James, go ahead. Lay on.
Okay, well, the whole issue here, and I began the show by talking about graphene oxide, you know, which is a complication, which is reactant to 5G, for example.
Yes.
5G is a very local, high-power transmission, and the graphene oxide reacts to that. But so there's a number of issues. For example, if you drink graphene oxide, it doesn't hurt you. It goes into your bloodstream. But if you breathe in graphene oxide, then that's a different story. It affects your lungs because your lungs will trap it, and they're like little saw blades. They're little monoatomic layer saw blades with very sharp edges, and they destroy the lungs. So the final story here has not been told. And I think what Artis has done, and the thing that all I can say is the amount of reaction to this and everybody trying to think that they're an expert all of a sudden on snake venom missed the entire point. The entire point is to get people into the hospital symptomatic. It might be mild symptoms, and to test positive for a PCR test. And that's what the snake venom will do.
Good. Okay? I like that. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me.
And that's what Artis is saying. That's what Artis is saying. He's not saying people get COVID because of snake venom. It creates symptoms. And those, once you go into the hospital, you test positive for PCR. And you may not even have enough snake venom dosage to create a reaction on the PCR test, but the PCR test is rigged so that to give a high percentage of false positives.
Right, absolutely.
And so the people go in, I'm feeling sick, I'm having trouble breathing. You know, my heart's palpitating. You know, you're getting these minor effects because a little bit of snake venom in some people, they react very, very much, very highly to it, just like a bee sting. Some people don't react at all. Others, their entire body inflates.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the issue. And so it's one of those things where you cannot tell who's going to react more than others. But the idea is to get as many people. And then, oh goodness, grandpa or uncle or somebody who is visiting you or sister has COVID. Now the whole family is suspect because you were in the presence of this person who tested positive is now in the hospital. What does that tell you? You know, so everybody runs out and gets positive tests that are rigged. And then all of a sudden you got the whole family, that is claimed to have COVID. I've heard people go, yeah, the whole family had COVID. Huh? You know, but only uncle died. And he went to the hospital and got put on a respirator. Only the guy that got put on the respirator died. Everybody else survived it.
And the hospitals are making big bucks for every patient they admit as COVID and bigger bucks for everyone they put on a respirator. I wouldn't doubt there's a bonus for everyone they kill off. I mean, James, this is just absolutely monstrous what's taking place here. The medical system that's supposed to support our health and ensure our survival or aid us toward that goal is doing precisely the opposite.
And by the way, I did get a tone of what this guy was saying at the end I could hear. And this is exactly a narcissist. I think you should go for treatment. And the reason being is that that is how a narcissist reacts. You oppose what I'm saying? I'm going to get up and scream and I'm going to talk over you until so I don't deal with people like that. And like I said, the worst thing you can do is talk to one.
Well.
You know, so excuse me for putting this on the air, but,
I'm pretty open to discussion, and you know there are a lot of narcissists in the world, and some of them have things to say, and so I just call them as I see them, James. But I understand your point of view. I would like more about water filtration, in which you're an expert. Tell us more. What should we be doing? I mean, I have one of these little, you know, filters. So I take the water from the tap and put it in the filter system before using it to make coffee and drink and cook and all that. But I'm sure there are higher and lower quality systems. Tell us some of the considerations that enter into water filtration.
Yeah, I've been in the water filter business now for over 22 years. I started out by selling gravity water filters, and then I moved on. I had my own product lines, and now I have my own manufacturing and everything with the best water filters in the world. But the water problems today are so intense that the biggest issue is in the daily shower. When you get into the shower, you're breathing in that vapor, and it goes right into your bloodstreams and right into your cells. I did a special on my own show last night dealing with this entire issue, and specifically because of the snake venom question. And what I'm telling people, here's the problem. Now, a number of months ago, there came out an issue regarding PFAS chemicals in the water. And just recently, there was an issue with uranium and chromium and other residues from a nuclear meltdown in the water systems. And so what people do is they'll look at these and they say, oh my goodness, I got to go out and get a water filter. There is so much bad stuff in the water. And, you know, you can go to a place like Michigan or Chicago where the water is horrific. I mean, there's all kinds of toxins and heavy metals, et cetera. And they will tell you our water is fifth best in the country. It's the, you know, premium water that you're getting, et cetera. But it's just because they meet federal standards. But the EPA federal standards are very old. And the issue is the biggest dosage of toxins that you get is in the daily shower. You know, so people have a kitchen filter. I sell the best replacement filter elements for gravity filters. And they're the least expensive. They do the best job. I also sell a very nice stainless steel zinc filter, but I'll tell people, what are you investing your money in that for? Because, you know, it's only to make you feel good. Or some people buy these little screw-on filters that go on a shower. And they really don't work. They have a little bit of charcoal in them that may remove a little bit of chlorine. So the end result is that the biggest dose of toxins that you get is in the daily shower. And that's the whole issue with the, you know, what, if you're talking about the snake venom thing, that's what's going on there also. And by the way, understand that it is not snake venom raw. It's encapsulated. And that's encapsulated so that it goes into your bloodstream before the encapsulation dissolves. And so people say, oh, you can drink snake venom. Well, that's not the point. This is encapsulated. And so, and that's why it's encapsulated, to preserve it while it's in the water, et cetera, and to get it into the bloodstream where then it does the damage. So that's a, you know, when you have people who are non-experts jumping up and down and saying all kinds of stuff, what all they're doing is flouting the issue. And what Artis did was a very good expose of all the connections. Why did Gilead, the company that's making the vaccine, buy a company in 2010 that specializes in snake venom? You know.
Yes, 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 yes. Together. Yes.
Why did this guy, I forget his name, this young graduate student who was about to release all this information relative to snake venom and COVID, was he shot? You know, graduate students just don't go around getting shot.
As a former graduate, that's a very uncommon occurrence. It was at the University of Pittsburgh, yes.
They're not where high level targets.
I've given lectures there. Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's pretty bizarre. I have a friend, by the way, James, who suggested there were a number of physicians who would have been in a position to identify this connection who were taken out before the COVID was released, in anticipation, you know, to remove the risk that they would expose it right off the bat. I can't verify that, but yeah, I have been told that that's the case with a colleague who has good intel connections. That would also be plausible.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so, you know, you can look at extenuating circumstances, but when it comes right down to the bottom line, the actual evidence is very sound. And when I started listening to artists, I thought, oh boy, this is off the wall. And I went through and I forced myself to listen. Okay, that's great. Well, holy cow, this guy has put together the essential pieces. And there's always more, and it may not be the whole story. You know, nobody's saying this is the end all whole story, but and then you see the reaction that it gets. And it's very offending also that people who are non-experts, you know, armchair quarterback type of people, start jumping up and down and saying things like, well, you can drink it. Well, that's not the point. That totally misses the point. You know, there's all kinds of alternative explanations. One being it's encapsulated. Two is that it goes in through your gland up here, which is the most absorbent receptor in your body. It goes through your skin in the shower. And it affects people differently. So very small amount of venom will affect people differently. And so back to the question of water filtration, it's a very difficult thing to target and to understand what the level of filtration is, because these are changing all the time. The nanoparticles, the nanocovers, the enzymes that they use to cover these can change on a daily basis with newer technology. They can become smaller. The proteins, okay, let's understand this. The protein that we're talking about, the snake venom protein, is about 2.6 nanometers. It's a molecule. It's a complex molecule, okay? And so it's extremely small, so it can be encapsulated in something that's very small and very hard to detect and very hard from a medical point of view. If somebody comes in with snake venom that was infused by some other means, it's impossible for the medical community to detect this.
James, where are your filters available? I take a shower every single day, so your point about the role of showers is quite striking and significant to me, because I'm filtering my water on the one hand, but I'm taking showers on the other, so the one is obviously going to nullify the other. Nevertheless, right. I don't intend to stop filtering my water. you talk about the most efficient and least expensive filters. Where are those obtainable?
The website is mymr5.com. I think I just lost my sound here. But mymr5.com is the webpage. It takes you right to the sales page.
My? And, spell it, would you, James? Spell the website.
Okay, I'm going to put it here in chat.
Yeah, okay, good. Put it in chat, yeah. I'm looking for it. My MR5. Okay, this is my MYMR5. In other words, lowercase letters, MYMR5.com. Whole house commercial water. Mitchell just put it up so I can see it here on Skype. Very good, James. Very good. Well, listen, I think you made a lot of very telling points. I'm feeling better about artists because looking at all the attacks and the water question and dilution, I was wondering whether he had it right or wrong, but I think you have explained, especially in terms of the encapsulation, why this can be a way of creating symptoms in an individual that would be sufficient to get them to go to a hospital, and from there it's all over. They're under the control of the medical process that's leading not to the salvation of your health, but rather the opposite. It's just a horror story what's going on here, James. I really thank you tremendously for coming on. Final thoughts, your final thoughts today.
Well, what artists did was right exactly on target. And so all the naysayers and the people jumping up and down and giving all these alternative things have totally missed the point. The point is simply to get some people symptomatic enough to get them into the hospital, and then they can continue the narrative. Okay? So he's exactly right on.
Thanks to James McCanney for being here. Thank you, Paul, for calling in, even though it was a mixed blessing given the technological issues today, today's show. Thank you all. Spend as much time as you can with your friends, your relatives, the people you love and care about, really, between the backs, potentially.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies. Champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.